Welcome to Tea
with Mrs. S, a podcast about relationships, life, and everything around us.
Hola.
Hello. Man, I like it. Two tapings in a row. You're sounding so sprite and up and about. Love it.
I'm stressed but blessed.
Ah. How can I be congratulating you and then you now tell me you're stressed? Please don't be stressed. Just be
stressed and blessed.
Just be blessed. Leave the stress out of it because
impossible.
How now?
I am okay. I am okay. I'm okay.
So it's been
this week could be better.
Please tell us what's could be better or what's not so great.
A lot could be better, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The sun's shining. I woke up in the morning. You know, grateful.
That's
as good. I said, blessed. And stressed.
Hey. I don't want the stress part. Stress part
just keeping it real.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, it was. I'm not stressed. Well, I don't know. Is there anyone who doesn't have at least a little bit of discomfort about some aspect or the other of their life? I guess there is. And I don't know, I think I told you, or maybe I didn't, decided to take this whole weight loss thing seriously again. And the funny thing about it, because last year I started, I was religious, I dropped a good bit, a lot. And then when it was obvious and very evident that this pandemic wasn't going away, I just said, oh, and I stopped, literally. And I don't know what happened this year. I just said randomly, let me just get on the scale. And I got on the scale, and because I had anticipated or felt like I'd gained back all the weight I lost. But when I got on the scale, it didn't register that I had gained back everything I lost. So I was really feeling in one tiny little comfort zone, saying, I'll catch up. From that time till ending of last week, where I just said, you know, honey, I need to take this whole thing seriously and get serious about getting back to losing this weight and got on the scale, I had gained back every single thing I lost last year. And I was like, no, this is not cute. So I was like, well, I mean, I felt like I had, but when I got on the scale, it showed me something else. So are you saying that within this 3 weeks, I just gained back everything I lost from last year? So that's the part that was quite disappointing. But within the, you know, when I took it seriously last week and now, I've already dropped maybe about 15 pounds. So I'm like, all right, we're refocused, but still disappointed. Because I pulled up my spreadsheet, you know, since I started tracking it again. And I was like, wow, I literally just gained back everything I lost last year. So anyways, I think that's the one bit. That's the one thing. If we're going to talk about stress, that's a little stressful. So I got B into it and I was like, because, you know, he doesn't really have a problem. He gets up, goes downstairs to the gym, works out, does his little weights, and that's that. But I was like, I'm going to need you to help out. And he's like, look, anything you want to do, I'll do it. So I put together our menu, a meal plan. And so we have stuck to the meal plan. We gave ourselves a cheat day, which is Saturday, but we started last night. And then the week before that, our cheat day was supposed to be Saturday. What did we do? We cheated on I can't remember, Sha. It was a random day that wasn't our cheat day. Our cheat day is Saturday because we do everything on Saturday. We're doing all this housework and all this stuff. So it was like, yeah, we'll just make it our cheat day and eat whatever we want on that day. So yesterday he was like, I guess because this is the long weekend, he's like, hey, you know, let's get our adult beverage. I was like, Saturday. He says, we can just do it. It's a holiday weekend. But outside of that, really good. Put the menu plan together, and it's been working out. And both of us have had drops in our weight, so we're optimistic. But this is our cheat day business. I'm gonna have to scale it back some because we're getting a little out of control. But it's nice. A little
carried away.
Exactly. It's nice when you get on the scale and you see the numbers coming away. You're like, it's good, even though I'm disappointed that I have to start back from scratch, but at least I've dropped it. But yesterday we opened up a glass of wine, you know, ordered, what's that place? The Brazilian, you know, I was like, we said, let's order something to eat. And I said, you know what, let's just do meat because it's protein. It'll burn off. It won't sit there. I think that's the safest bet. So we just ordered from the Brazilian steakhouse enough to carry over today, which is the actual cheat day. So, but yeah, we've been getting up early in the morning. We walk at least for an hour outside. Because I dropped
walking is key, because I've found that when you walk, it doesn't feel that impactful, but when you step on the scale, you see the impact. It is very slow and you're like, oh my God, I don't think anything's happening, but you start seeing changes in the way that your body shapes.
I think for me, for the walking, it's just opening up my lungs more, you know, and I'm not, the difference between day one and day five, you know, of the walking, because I couldn't walk and talk. Next thing you know, I'm talking during the entire walk. My dear, I don't even want to get into that bit. The one day we went and I was in the worst pain ever, and I stuck through it. I was feeling really proud of myself, but it was such a difficult day. The pain. But it's getting better. So I don't know if it's that effective as far as burning calories, but it's definitely something, and it's just good with the opening of the lungs. But on Thursday, we couldn't even go out to walk because it was raining. So I just stayed downstairs and I did my jump roping, and 10 minutes, I've covered what I do with the walk. You know what I mean? The walk is just good because I have plenty of weight that I need to release first.
I actually prefer walking because it is low impact. Mm. I jump rope, running, all those other form of exercises are okay, but for me, they're high impact, and I really don't want to damage anything at this age. I would prefer to keep all my bones where they are.
Yeah.
So
I love jump roping. You can do it without creating problems. If you have the technique, well, I love jump roping. And the only reason I haven't been doing it is because of all of the gain back, you know. But when I went down and I did it, I was like, oh, okay, good. You know, so the walking is definitely key. We're going to keep doing it every morning, but I'll try and incorporate the jump roping as part of it instead of just doing the walking. But at least every morning, up to an hour, you know, we do about almost a two mile walk. 2 mile, a little over two or a little under two, depending on what time we actually set out. So I like that. And, you know, that's it. Hopefully there will be some, what's the word I'm looking for? The evidence will show at some point. This week was quite an eventful one. let's start by talking about Sha'Carri. Is her name, is it Sha'Carri?
Who are you talking about?
Willis. Sha'Carri, is it Johnson? What's the girl's name? The Olympic girl.
I don't know what her name is. I don't remember. Yeah.
The fiery hair.
Qualified and then was disqualified.
Oh, she wasn't disqualified. She was put on probation, I guess, for a month or so, being put on probation for a month, then she gets to miss that the race that she's supposed to be in.
She'll miss the Olympics.
I don't know if she'll miss the Olympics. She's just not going to be able to run in her race, which I don't know if that's the only race. Well, I don't know if that's the only race she's running in. Mm. So I don't know. But yeah, so she won't be run. The 100 meters is the one that she cracked the record for or whatever that she went viral for. She's not going to be able to make it. And a lot of people, especially these athletes, are saying, what's the big deal? What's a big deal? It's marijuana. And I'm like, when did we become the age of what's the big deal? And, you know, saying rules don't matter anymore. Like, I don't even understand that. Why does it become the fault of the body that set the rules and not the person who already agreed to abide by the rules and then broke the rules? Why should that person be given a pass?
I don't think that people who should be given a pass, quote unquote. However, I think that sometimes when rules that are put in place are broken, it gives you the opportunity to evaluate the rule and identify and see if that rule is still applicable or why was it put there. I mean, you every time you put something in place, you should be doing a, what do they call it? What's the word I'm looking for?
Assessment, review. Exactly. Does it still hold? Does it still make sense?
Does the punishment
right? The crime, not just the know? Punishment. We set this rules in place because of so and so. That so and so, does it still apply now or whatever?
Correct.
Yes.
But even
so, I feel you.
Does the way that we put this punishment in place, what was the reason behind it? Does the punishment really fit the crime?
Well, you're talking about punishment. I'm talking about the rule to begin with. We're not even going into the punishment phase.
That far.
We're talking about the rules. Here are the rules, right? So I have the rules. I ask you to come to my house, but when you come into my house, I want you to leave your shoes at the door. Do you agree to that before you come in? You say yes. But then when you come, you walk into my house with your shoes. And then I said, oh, okay, since that's the way you want to do, please exit my house and don't ever come back again. Whose fault is it? And why should I, in this situation, why should you be
accountable? Right.
Yes. You know what I mean? You agreed that you were not going to wear your shoes into my house. And yet you walked into my house with your shoes. Why should I leave you in my house with your shoes? So people are sending messages. Oh, my God, it was just weed. Oh, my God, it's just data. But I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, your God, it's just weed. She understood the rules. You're not supposed to do these drugs. And what I love about her is that because everybody else is, you know, they've carried it. Yeah, smoking
but she's not
Panadol for somebody else.
She doesn't seem to be pushing back at it. She's
no,
like,
exactly.
I'm just human.
That's what I love about her. She accepted responsibility.
Right.
She said, I was wrong for doing that. She has even given her, you know, she has explained why this is what happened and everything or whatever. But she's not saying, don't punish me. She's not saying, you know, what type of user's rule is this?
She signed the document and the contract of sound mind and body.
But the everybody else wants to now take it upon themselves to talk jaga jaga. And I'm like, stop it. You're not.
Well, everybody else is. Everybody has a right to pitch in. It's you know, it's something that's viral. It's something that everybody wants to have an opinion on. But I think everybody too has a right to say when something now is brought out to the light, why do you people have these rules in this place? What does it even matter? And you guys, maybe it's time to reevaluate your rules. I don't think people should be faulted for trying to tell the person, why do you have these jewels? For example,
I don't think.
For example, let's go back to the example you gave.
Mm-hmm.
You said to me, hey, don't wear your shoe into my house, blah, 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 blah. And I agreed. I came in, I wore my shoe. And your response is, okay, just leave. Just go. I don't want to ever see you again.
Mm-hmm.
Other people might come in and say, hey, isn't there, why are you being so harsh? Can't you just give her shoe covers next time? Can't you make some amendments? They're just trying to see if there's a way to get us as friends back into a relationship with each other. They're just pitching in. You don't have to agree to it.
Mm-hmm. And then those people, and that's what I'm saying, the level of thinking, and for them to think they can come and say this, it's like, why? You can give whatever you want to give, but I have to ask my friend, what kind of friend are you? Who, we've already discussed this thing, and you know it's an issue for me, but then you disregard that and you do it. So we go back to this. There are rules, and that you have to follow these rules. There is a reason the rules were put in place, and those rules have already been discussed with you, and they've expressed to you why people are like, marijuana that slows you down, marijuana that does this. No, there are other things that it does that may make your performance better. You know, people are saying, oh, come on, it's not like it's going to enhance her performance. You don't know that. And here's what part of her performance that it will enhance. If someone has performance anxiety and they take the weed, then they don't have performance anxiety anymore. There's so many different reasons for it. But the fact of the matter is, you cannot do drugs. If you get tested, you can perform. So how can you and other sports people at that come out and say, what is the big deal? That is wrong. And when you start doing it, you're kind of enabling and empowering people to break those rules.
I don't agree with you that them saying what's the big, or them asking for those rules to be reassessed or evaluated is a bad thing. I think that they should, like I said, rules need to be evaluated from time to time. However, the person who put the rule in place can say, auntie, oh boy, I reevaluated though. I ain't moving. That's my point.
So you think that every year, every four, Olympic guys, every 4 years, you think that those rules haven't been, listen, isn't that the other day that they said, where is she from? She's from, I can't remember what country it is. She's the first trans woman who is going to be lifting weights. Meanwhile, the year before that, Caster Semenya, whatever her name is, headache over that. And she's naturally intersex. There's nothing, you know, she's an intersex woman, you know. But here's somebody else who is a transgender woman who is changing her natural way to be somebody else, and is going to be in there. So the bottom line of what I'm trying to say is that these rules are assessed, they review it, and they're in place. And here you come, bucking those rules. And then here comes these other people trying to empower and what's the word? Allow you, or say it's cool for you to do that, to be disrespectful to the rules. And I think it's wayward and backwards, and that's a problem. This action is not the way to get rules to change. Okay, like you said, the assessment is necessary. So if you feel that there's a rule, instead of you to go and break the rule first for it to be addressed, why don't you address the rule first? Here's the problem. Why is weed an issue? And let them tell you, oh, this is why it's an issue. Don't go breaking the rules, and then the whole world now has to make the Olympic Committee feel like they're doing something that is, you know, discriminatory to one person. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't think she, for whatever reason, like I said, her mea culpa, the way that she dealt with it, she's not bucking and she's not saying, oh, you know, why are you guys penalizing me for this? She's owned it. So,
yeah. And I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about the people who are excusing the behavior and are saying that she's well within her rights to smoke the weed. What is it? Why? It's just weed, Olympic Committee. And I'm like, that's not the way to go about it. You don't change the rules by doing it. And I think that's when we go back to the whole French Open thing and tennis and Naomi Osaka and things like that. That's kind of this on, along the same lines. You knew what you were getting into. If you knew that the presses were going to be an issue, I think the way you should have handled it was having a discussion with them about it, as opposed to making a huge blanket announcement that you're not going to do it and you guys can do whatever you want to do. And then now the whole world is, you know, everyone's screaming or whatever. So these are the issues. And we're finding that it's this newer generation, they feel like they're above the rules and they'll just ignore the rules and they'll deal with it afterwards. You know, I'll deal with the consequences afterwards. And I don't know that that's the right way to do it, as much as I love, you know, their spunk. So anyway, that was that about her. The next one that was the hottest tea of the group was the release of
Uncle Bill.
Billy said, what's for your pockets? You say what? Parole Guinea. I'm not doing any such thing.
He has the money.
So but a lot of people are upset. Felicia Rashad, who just got provost or whatever position they gave out Howard, entered hot water because of her comments about it. But I'm like, you know what? It's low key. I shouldn't say low key, because I don't think when you read about it and you get into the nitty gritty of it, you now realize that, wait, there really wasn't a case to begin with. It was really, really, as they say, a witch hunt. And they got their way. I mean, he was in jail for what, 3 years now?
Exactly.
Yeah, so they got their way. When you look into it, you realize it was a gotcha kind of situation.
Yeah, when you realize that guy, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Collins, the father in Seventh Heaven, who actually confessed to pedophilia in a national newspaper, I think it was People or something, is still walking around free. Nobody has indicted him. Nobody has charged him. I'm like,
You know, the thing is, I don't like to do the whataboutism situation.
I'm
going to
do it right here.
I don't like to do the whataboutism. I like to focus on the topic at hand. With
I'm
regards to Bill.
On the topic at hand.
No, wait, and we'll get into that, because you do raise a point. But let's talk about Bill Cosby. This particular constant lady that he had the issues with, they had actually settled.
Right.
She had taken a whole bunch of money. They had settled. It was over and done with. And you know, he's in jail on her. It wasn't any new allegations.
Right.
He went to jail on this one thing that was already settled and he was not supposed to be prosecuted for. That's why it's a smack in the face. Because when you look into it, you know, because, and now after this judge has overturned this, now when you actually read, you're like, oh shit, they did him dirty.
They did. They did.
They did. You realize that. And that's not to say, first of all, I don't know what they were doing back then. The man said, listen, I bought Quaaludes. I gave the ladies, they took it. Maybe this is what they used to do to enhance their sexual activity. But these are things that they did back then. I don't know. A lot of people are saying he raped. I mean, there are a lot of times a lot of people can say some things and it could be lies. And then there are a lot of times that, come on, more than one person has said it, it's 100% actually happened. Okay. That's neither here nor there. It's wrong for him to have done that. It's horrible. You know, if in fact he actually did it. But let's focus on this one case. They talked about it, even though till today he still denies that he did any of that. He's like, all right, let this thing go away. I'm over it. I'm a happily married man or whatever. My wife and I, we know each other. Take this money. You, this guy, you said you're not going to prosecute me. Here's what I did. I gave them Quaaludes back then. All right? Finish. Only for the guy to now reopen the case, charge him.
He wasn't the one that reopened it. It was a subsequent prosecutor.
Right. Either way, the agreement held. They were not supposed to charge him based on this.
It should have held.
And they did. And not only that, they now called
name grabbing somebody that wanted to make a name for himself decided, which guess what? I'm going to reopen this case.
Ugh. Part of it was because that one black comedian, he's the one who started it.
Right.
Called Bill out, and then of course meet, everybody started shouting, and this guy was like, hey, let me make a whatever. And then the guy spent 3 years. Really, if you look at it, Bill Cosby can sue if he wants to.
He can.
Yeah, he can sue the state.
But I don't even know why he would. He should just quietly carry his money. He still has plenty of money. How many people have as much money as he has to sit down and give all these intelligent people to go and figure out the loophole to get him out of jail?
I mean, Bill Cosby.
Imagine how many innocent people are stuck. Innocent people are in jail.
They should write a book about him, because there's another guy
in Missouri who's in jail. The lady who claims that he committed the murder recanted. There's evidence that he was at home. And he's been in jail for over 30, 40 years. And he's still in jail.
It's horrible. Oh, I'd like to read that story. It's crazy. But Bill Cosby said, me, a whole me. Hey, you want to try me? I mean, he's been defiant, you know, in jail.
He's been defiant. And I don't know where he gets his audacity from. Because is it the audacity of thinking that what he's innocent? You know, that kind of audacity. You're like, I'm not going to confess to something.
It could be part of that. Or is it
the audacity of being delusional and not realizing that what you did was wrong?
I don't know. I'm not going to carry water for anyone. He must believe that he's innocent. He must believe that him and all those ladies were consenting. This same Constant one came back. Apparently, after all that happened, she remained in a relationship with him.
I won't speak to that, because when you read from the experts, they say that that has no bearing on whether the person comes back or the person continues in a relationship with their quote-unquote abuser, that has no bearing on whether they were abused or not. So
it doesn't have a bearing on whether they were abused or not. It doesn't. But just that it doesn't have any bearing on whether they were abused or not, how does it make it clear to the abuser that you felt that the abuse felt violated? You see what I'm saying? If someone is narcissistic enough to believe that, no, I didn't do anything, it was consenting, and you, the person who was abused, you keep coming back. This person who did this thing will not think that they did anything wrong, because here you are cheesing with me. Here you are breaking bread with me. Here you are drinking whatever with me. Okay, so now when they brought the case up against them and this person says, no, this is what you did. You violated me. And I said, okay, but you were still hanging around. I wasn't aware that I violated you. Okay, my bad. Here are these many zeros for you.
Yeah, but there was a lady who was also a victim. And she was...
You said a lady. There are 36 of them. They have their pictures.
I'm talking about a particular lady. Uh-huh. One in particular. I don't remember her name right now. And I think she was on CNN. There were two of them, actually.
I just told you there's 36 of them.
No, hold on. I'm talking about a particular incident. Mm-hmm. There were two of them who were on a CNN interview. And when I was looking at the way that both of them seemed to be reacting to their abuse, one of them was more like, you know, I've written a book about it. I'm just not going to let this define me. And I'm just going to move forward. And the other lady, and I'm really sad that I don't have their names at this time. And the other lady was, you could see she was still shook up. Mm-hmm. She was like, Bill, you had food at my grandma's house and you really violated me. And she was very emotional and tearful about the whole thing. I was like, wow, you know, Wow. So look, I'm not carrying water for anybody, but I do agree with you 100%. They did him dirty and they didn't have to. So
it was unnecessary. A lot of those other ladies, they didn't have a case. Five of them were brought in just to show a pattern. There wasn't a case brought up against him by those ladies. So it's just so crazy that this guy was tried on a case that he had already sorted out, settled out of court, paid this woman tons of money. Plus the prosecution has said they weren't going to bring any criminal charges against him as far as the state is concerned. And then for him to be in jail for 3 years, Kai. No, the guy vexed. The guy, me. They said he was up for parole, and he's a parole for what? He didn't even go.
Put him on. No, if we're going to put him on. They said for him to go on parole, he had to agree.
Yeah,
to he didn't sexual even abuse counseling. Something he said. Yes. Never. He said, I will spend
every year in this place. Before I agree to that. Well, we know. You know, Dr. Huxtable. We know him. His behavior and everything he says, he's a stickler. So I don't know.
I also feel that it wasn't. I mean, I understand why they had to pull all the shows, but I also feel like you're punishing everybody else. The show, any show, any production is not necessarily about one person. I understand that it was his show. I understand why they did what they did. But all the other people, you remember the one guy who ended up working at Trader Joe's as a grocery bagger or whatever. He was on the...
Yeah. He what's her name's show. Husband?
Lisa, but no. I can't remember Lisa. Her name. Who was it?
Sandra.
Yes. And he was like the right... I mean, as soon as they cut off all the money income they were getting, stopped. And he was like, I have to take care of myself and my family. He ended up working at Trader Joe's.
Well, I can't see why. Really? I mean, was there a clause as to that ever happening? Because if there's no clause, they should also, they can sue, you know, as well.
I don't know. All I know is this, you know, because the fan or someone saw him working at Trader Joe's. And he's like,
somebody made fun of him or something like that. But he's, from that, I think he even got some.
Exactly.
Some work after that.
Exactly.
My dear, everything.
It all works out for good.
In the end, my sister.
In the end.
You know, so it was interesting. You now say you don't want to talk about this. You know how you are. But we will talk about it, I beg.
Tell me first so I can refuse nicely.
It's your life. Before you refuse... So, I mean, there's two different topics which probably end up relating. So, about orgasms and whether they're, you know, to fake or not to fake. I was watching a TV show and, I've watched so many in
you this want short me, time. A church-loving, God-loving Christian woman to be talking about orgasm on national... All right, continue. Go ahead.
You see your life. What was it? It was a TV show. I can't remember which one it was because I've watched so many. And the guy was asking the woman about faking orgasms. I think she said something about she faked orgasms or something. And the guy said, like, what's the point? Why do women fake orgasms? And she said that, well, because for one, she just realized at a certain point, she realized it's never going to happen. So, you know, she decides let her just fake it just to end the charade. and then end it because it's going on for nothing. And I was like,
why can't she just end it?
I was like, I've just never been that. I hate bad sex. Bad sex is like the worst thing ever. And a lot of times you know that someone is going to be, well, you get an idea of whether how good a person is going to be in bed by kissing. I love kissing. Kissing is good. And if you're a good kisser, then I know, okay, there's hope.
There's
yet.
Hope.
Right.
There's hope.
So it's been rare that a good kiss has manifested through bad sex, you know. But if you're in the something that's supposed to be enjoyable and you're not getting joy out of it, why will I now congratulate you by faking orgasm? So you're feeling like you did something.
You'll be puffing for nothing.
Why would I do that? I'm like, first of all, I'll just tell you, stop right there.
It's not working.
It's not. I don't know what this is, but this is not what I want. So can you stop? I can't. We're not going to go any further, you know? And if it's never a case of, oh, let me fake an orgasm, even if an orgasm never comes and you get your own satisfaction, you do realize that it's never going to happen again. There will never be sex after that day. You go your own way, I go my own way. So it's interesting to see why any woman would...
I don't know why anyone would feel that they would be... feel like they have to fake an wow, that's an interesting one.
So you've never faked an orgasm?
Why would I have to?
I am asking you. I didn't say why, that you did or you didn't. I don't know. I was not in the room with you. I'm just asking, have you ever faked an orgasm?
Have you?
I just brought the question out to you. I just told you my own side of the story. I told you my story. And luckily for me, you know, I'm married to a man who I don't ever have to. There's never been a time I haven't had multiple earth-shaking.
Yeah, my, it's okay. I beg you.
Earth-shaking. There's never been that
sound,
moment.
Just, I can, you sound so tickled. Just like when you're reliving the memory, you're like, oh God, let me just... It's coming across in your voice.
I'm telling you, thank God, honestly, because it would be hell. It really would be, you know. So, never. And when I think about that,
I couldn't do that. I don't know how I would do that, because then if say for example you got married to someone who and then it was bad sex, then you'll be faking orgasms for the rest of your life.
Better get with the program
and explain to the guy, Bobo, this is not working. You need to change your technique, or you need to change something.
You know, come on.
Let's fix it so that you can be on your road to exactly. a happy ending.
Oh, my sister, and that's what leads me to the article you sent me about the South African. It's in their books, right? Is this something that they're trying to?
They are still considering it. I think they took comments up till last month, like June 30th. But it's actually more the amendment, and what they're talking about is actually deeper than that. On the face of it, it's, you know, of course, clickbait. South Africa is considering letting women have multiple husbands. But when you actually read the article, because CNN did a write-up on it, it's not necessarily that, or it's just that they're trying to be more gender neutral in their policy. And the outcome of that gender neutrality may well be that women would be allowed to have multiple husbands, you know. That's really what it is, you know. And they also said that they're saying that the current system that they have is one that was put on them. It came from a Western tradition and Calvinist Christians. It is not based on their own
monogamy. Is what they're saying? Not,
right, they're saying it's not based on their own traditional beliefs.
And what is their own traditional belief?
Polygamy.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, because I think in the article they mentioned it,
polyandry.
That in Nigeria, I think Nigeria, what other African countries, women married more than one husband.
Exactly.
You know, so my dear, but the woman now, she's powerful.
Very.
We
should now be faking orgasms on top of that one.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And she doesn't need to fake, because if this guy comes in and his own is not correct, you just say, please call your brother.
And it's funny because when you even hear the, you know, the different views from certain people, one South African broadcaster was like, even though polygamy is an accepted practice, that polyandry is not, that men are jealous and possessive. So a marriage with multiple husbands cannot work.
So women are, not, like, jealous so women are not jealous.
You know, some of these things, and you just hear it. You're like, why are you chatting nonsense? Do you hear what is coming out of your mouth?
They're saying it nonsense? Because for some time now, in marriages, women take the men's names. You know, in countries like China, where they said, no, 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 you can only have two children. People were killing their female kids just to have male kids to you know, for progeny, to keep the male, the line, the lineage going from the man's side. And that's why
Who says that women cannot continue the line?
But that's what you're saying. Who said? And I'm saying that's what that's made of. You're saying who said? But there, that has been the thing. That is why in China, women abort their female children because they only were allowed to have two kids, and they'd rather have boys than girls.
I thought they were allowed to have one. Okay, well, one. You know, two. I think it's two now.
And then I think now that they can have a third. No. You know, because now they can have a third, because now they're begging people to have children. They're not having children anymore.
At a certain point in time in China, you were only allowed one child.
No, you are only allowed two.
Babe, two children. Go and Google it.
Is it not me that started this conversation?
I understand, but they were only allowed one child, not two.
It's two kids.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I'm not even going to argue about something that Google can clarify.
Exactly. Let's not argue.
Let's not split hairs. You say two, I say one. End conversation. Keep it moving. They were shouting.
In 1979, China implemented its one-child policy, which succeeded in curbing population growth, but also led... Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. You're right. China's three... China's three-child policy, why was it introduced? See, that's what I'm saying. So I don't know how they jumped from... I think it was two children at some point. They were allowed to have
this
two.
This is the way it worked in China. They were only allowed one child. Then if you were wealthy or you could prove something, they could carve out an exception for you, but you had to get permission.
So it wasn't... it was 2016. 2016, they could have two children. So it was one child policy from 1979. 2016, they were allowed to have two, but now they're saying you can have three. But
they're saying we can't even do the two.
No, they're even saying let's do one. So that's the thing. When people impose these sort of rules that make no sense, you know, the Bible said be fruitful and multiply, there will always be a need for children. Now China, even though it's the most populous country in the world, now they're begging. You know, everybody's getting old, people are dying, and the young, they're not having children anymore. You know,
Japan too is begging.
Yes, that's why. But they don't even have numbers that much,
right?
Yes. But, and that's why countries like Nigeria in 10 years are going to be the most populous countries, and people are going to be begging for them.
Nigeria, left, right, and India, center. You know, most of the African continents are like, I mean, you see people that can't even afford to put food on the table.
They're dropping like 50 children.
Like flies.
Their concern is not about the children.
One of this child may be my $1 million lottery ticket.
Oh, exactly.
One of these children. So, then, yeah.
China was, and now they're begging, and their people are like, for what? I beg.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's because it's been like that. So on Jeopardy the other day, this woman was talking about they got married, and the guests were surprised to hear they said, you know, when they say welcome Mr. and Mrs. and maybe her last name is John, you know, Mr. and Mrs. John, everybody was looking for who they were talking about. They didn't realize that her husband had opted to take her last name.
Right.
So
that's
in their house now, they're all under the wife's surname, not the man's surname.
In Spain, I think that the men take the women's last name.
No, it's hyphenated.
Is it okay? I don't know. I know something. I think that they take the women's last name, but I'm not sure.
It's hyphenated. It's both.
Okay,
it's
if,
both
you're,
of
if
them.
You are sure, what I recollect is that in Spain that they take the women's last name, but okay. We okay. just had one argument that you said I was right. You won't enter another one.
My dear, I wasn't wrong either. We were both right. I mean, this is 2021. So they had two child policy. So we were both right. They had one child, then they moved to two. Now they want three, and people are saying for your pocket. But in Spain and a lot of Spanish speaking countries, it's hyphenated. So it's like, you know, this and this. In the Arab countries, it's Ibn whatever, whatever. So it's son of this, you know, son of this. So son of, and it might not be, do they even have surnames? I mean, they do, but it's normally son of, like Mohammed, son of Ibrahim, you know, something like that. And Ibrahim is Ibrahim's first name. So I don't know if they keep the full surname of the family, or it's the father's name. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if your father's name is Richard, so you're now going to be T, daughter of Richard. You know, meanwhile, Richard has a last name. Do you get it?
Right, right.
So,
but
it's,
you see,
it's
this article I just saw, it says Spain overhauls tradition of sexist double-barreled names.
Yeah.
So
it's hyphenated. So the husband...
No, double-barreled is hyphenated, isn't it? They said they overhauled it. Spanish women do not change their name when they marry, and offspring are given the first surname of both their parents.
Yes, hyphenated.
Regardless of the first surname of both their parents.
Hyphenated, yes.
No,
so if
listen carefully to what I'm saying. They overhaul the tradition of sexist... double barreled surnames. So what they're saying is they're not even doing the double barreled surnames any longer. Spanish women do not change their name when they marry, and their offspring are given the first surname of both their parents, regardless of whether their parents are married or not. So
hyphenated. So what are you saying? What I'm saying is inaccurate.
This is what. Oh Lord. Okay, I'm done.
No, no, don't be done. I'm trying to understand what you're saying. You have a child. Your name is John Smith. Your husband's name is Janet John or whatever. So the child's name is Justin Smith John. Is that not what I'm saying? Hyphenated.
Okay.
Don't say okay. I'm asking you. This is when conversation starts breaking down unnecessarily. This is a question. Is it not hyphenated? Is that not what they're saying?
That's not the way I am understanding what the article that I'm reading. And the reason I took a pause was I was trying to digest what they're saying here. Now, the article starts by saying babies born in Spain, and this was an article written in 2017, will now not automatically be given their father's surname first. So, I think I get it now.
Hyphenated.
It's hyphenated, but is whose surname comes first in the hyphenated arrangement?
There you go. So that's what I'm trying to tell you.
So
they all have hyphenated.
So they're saying now, the either the mother's surname could be first
before the father's,
before
and exactly
the father's surname. Uh-huh. That's why I said, give me a second to.
Yeah, but the bottom line I was trying to say is a lot of them. They're all hyphenated.
Women don't even change their names. So.
A lot of Spanish speaking countries, that's what they're doing right now. They're hyphenated. There's no, you know, her name was Jane Smith, and her husband's name is John, and then she changes her name to John. She keeps Smith John.
Yes. So basically, the female is keeping their name.
Right.
The male is keeping their name. The children will get both names.
Right. Hyphenated. Yes.
Sounds like a perfect plan to make.
Yes. So a lot of them, even in Mexico and the South and then Southern American countries as well, they're doing the same thing. So
it sounds like a plan because your child is a product of two people.
Exactly. And that's the premise behind it.
Yeah.
So
and now they're even saying okay, because I'm sure maybe even the way it was done was the man's name would have been first in that hyphenated arrangement. They're like, it's okay. It doesn't matter. We can switch it around, you know. It can be John Smith. It can be Smith John. Either way.
I know. Like for the thank you cards for our wedding, and I sent it. I know so many people calling me saying, wait, is that what your surname is going to be now? Are you guys going to be hyphen? I said, my dear, take it as you see it. People are asking too many questions that are unnecessary.
And really, like, why are you guys now making it a deal? The thought never even crossed my mind. Now you now want to make an issue out of it. Yeah. And now I have to go and start thinking about it.
I said, take it as you see it, because people are asking me too many questions. What will be, take it as you see it. But that's the reason. And that's why the things are happening the way they're happening right now, because of thousand century old traditions that, you know, manifested and just haven't gone away. And then now everybody's woke. People are like, no, why do I have to do that? No.
Everything needs to be assessed and reevaluated every so often to see if it's still relevant, valid, or even makes sense.
Well, I mean, it's relevant until it's not. You can evaluate it 50,000 times until one person says, hey, I don't like it. The people evaluating it might still be fine with it. The person who comes in and says this doesn't make sense might not even part of the evaluating committee. They just have a problem with it, and it's right. and then it becomes a problem. So that's why it's interesting. On Twitter the other day,
I was about to say that. I said life is interesting.
What were you just
exactly the word you used. You said it's interesting, and those were the words that were about to come out of my mouth.
Oh, I thought you were about to also say on Twitter the other day.
Oh, really?
Because that's what I said.
How could I have been that much of a mind reader?
I was going to say, I was going to be like, wait, what? So, but yeah, on Twitter the other day, this girl, I think she's Nigerian because I saw her handle. She was talking about cisgender, this, that are imposing their wah 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 and this, and I was just like, where is she going with this? So they're talking about that it's only cisgender people, specifically males, who have an issue with homosexual relationships the PDA from homosexual relationships. And then she now started outlining how when a father and mother are kissing, or somebody on Facebook is talking about her husband or whatever, are they not ramming their heterosexual life down everybody's throat and what? And I was like, where is she going with this? Like, I don't even understand what she's saying. Like, what are you saying?
So what was she saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. What in the world are you saying?
You didn't ask her on Twitter.
People were asking her.
You had the perfect opportunity to just reply to her and say, can you explain further?
People were asking her. That was nothing for me to ask my own question.
You came here to ask, a rhetorical question.
People were asking her. Someone even said, it looks like you're Nigerian, and the way they make their comments, it looks like you're losing your mind.
I'm not even going to go there. Someone did I know I'm not going to remember this properly. I'm not going to remember this properly, but it was, I felt it was a mic drop moment, and it's completely left field. But it was on, I saw it on someone's status profile. And this lady was like, I'm celebrating my divorce or something like that. I'm so happy, something. So somebody else responded to her, and I don't know if this was on Instagram or if this was on Twitter, and said, oh, thank God, if you're fortunate enough to have made the decision to finally go through a divorce, I'm happy for you. Thank God, blah, blah, blah. Then obviously some African looking chick, I guess from her profile picture, I don't know if that's who it really was, now responded and says, which God? Do you mean the same God in? And then she quoted the Bible, it's the Malachi something, something that hates divorce. And then this lady now responded something, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember. She says, my God, I have an authentic belief. And my God was not defined to me by your colonial something, something, something. I was just like, mic drop. Like, it was too much. I was like, Jesus, these people want to clap and you just clap back at them immediately as in, don't even try it.
Well, the clap back has to work if the person that is being clapped to understands what was intended.
If you say something
and you think that the person that you're saying it to gets it and they don't get it, you have not done anything.
Oh no, this was very obvious. Yes, I didn't find anywhere. It and send it to you. So funny. I was like, mic drop.
Yeah, but she was this particular. I to me, you know, I think the concerted angst and, you know, almost going after heterosexuality, I don't know that it's necessary to push the LGBTQ agenda or whatever, if there is such a thing. I think that everyone can coexist. You don't have to put down heterosexual relationships to justify, because it almost sounds as if that's what you're doing. There's no need. You love who you love. If you want to be a homosexual, that's fine. But what's the purpose in putting down, you know, people who are heterosexual? Like, I don't understand it. You know what I mean?
Well, everybody just needs to coexist happily. That's all. Live and let live. That's my motto.
Yeah, this girl went on there and she just was just tearing at it. You know, cisgender this. You cannot, wah, wah, wah. And I was like, you're the product of cisgender, my sister. Calm down. And Nigeria, they say, be calming down, be calming down. Calm down. Be calming down. You're the product of cisgender. Stop it. What you're saying is unnecessary. Be quiet. Okay. You know, no, we're happy that you have you have researched and come to terms with this is who you want to be and this is who you want to be with. But there's absolutely no reason to now put down, you know. Oh, and now I remember some guy, I guess is a Nigerian doctor, was saying that he doesn't, I think he was blasting the some TV show or so that was showing a homosexual relationship and actually like their sex or something like that. And he was saying that he'll never let his child watch that or whatever. And that the child only watches some other thing. I don't know what they were talking about.
It's
so that
his
one
child is well within his
room. Oh, but that's not that one. I brought it up to call BS on what he was saying. I was saying that even in the shows that he's talking about, that there's sexual stuff going on. It's just not homosexual, it's heterosexual. And what's the difference is what he's saying. And they were saying he should just own up to the fact that he is a homophobe. He has homophobia and stop saying it has anything to do with, you know, sex or whatever. So I think that's where it came from. And then this one chick, she took it, she went just
went left field.
Yeah, she just went and she was just attacking. I was like, slow down. You're on this earth because your father and your mother gave birth to you. So what you're doing is unnecessary. Okay. Chill out. But I don't know. It's interesting. So yeah, those were the week's topics that were quite interesting. Anyways, so yeah, that's our story and we're sticking with it. if you enjoy what you hear, think about you know, supporting us. And obviously, if you want to share your thoughts on what we talked about, feel free to leave us 59 seconds, a message, Twitter, and we'll circle back. Thanks for listening.
Ciao. Thank you for joining us.
If you like what you hear, please click on the support button.
Thank you.